Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Hello? Can you hear me? I can't hear anything, guys. I'm sorry. I can't hear anything.
Rhonda, can you hear me?
There you are. I hear you.
Okay. All right. Okay. We are now cooking with gas. Wow. I don't
awesome.
Know what that was, but we are going to just go ahead. Did you hear our intro of you? You mean you missed the entire intro too?
Yeah, I only heard the beginning, your show intro, and that was it.
Wow.
And then it just went mute. It just went mute. So
that's crazy.
Okay. That's okay.
I gave you
I'm
a
here
spectacular
now.
Intro. A spectacular intro.
I will go back and
it.
Listen to that definitely. Definitely got to go back and listen.
Well, listen,
I missed it.
You missed it. Well, now that you're on, I basically gave them a little bit about you, and I just brought you in. So why don't you just go ahead and tell them who you are, where you're from, and what you do, and we're going to start talking about all of the underdog obstacles you jumped and hurdled, and we'll go right into Project Push.
Okay. So Rhonda Nails, currently live in Durham, North Carolina. But I was actually a military brat, so I moved from place to place to place to place until my dad finally retired in Arizona, and I decided to get married, and now my husband is from Durham, and so that's where we have relocated. So I'm out here. I have a wonderful husband and an incredible 13-year-old daughter. Yay me. So that's just a little bit about me. I don't want to give away too much because I know we're going to talk a little bit about me. Did you want me to talk about Project Push now, or you want to?
No. Let's pull it back. I told everyone about a very short bio. At age 5, you were left blind in one eye due to an accident. You were left broken at the age of 25 as a single mom, and that you had to file for bankruptcy at the age of 34. But despite all of that, you became an owner of Signature Notaries. And I said, I love that because I happen to be a notary myself. So that you are an Amazon Kindle bestseller twice, a magazine creator, a publisher. Like I said, I gave you a spectacular opening, and I can't believe we had technical difficulties and you missed it. So we need to get into the definition of success instigator. You know, I was called an instigator of many things while I was growing up. So I like the fusion of the two words, success instigator. Talk to me about becoming a success instigator. What is that?
So it kind of stems from me being a motivational speaker, but I hated the term motivational speaker. So I said, okay, well, how can I jazz it up? How can I sound different? How can I stand out? Because I'm always the person that goes against the grain, swims against the tide. I never want to do it by the book. And I think anybody that has an entrepreneur gene in their body, they never want to identify with the norm. They always want to stand out. They always want to be different. So I said, okay, yes, I'm a motivational speaker. Yes, I motivate and inspire, and that's all well and good, but that's not how I kind of want to be remembered. So I said, okay, well, what defines Rhonda? I mean, you know, because everybody has trials, everybody has mountains to climb, everybody has obstacles, right? So I said, okay, well, what is one thing that I do really well? Okay, so what I figured out is that I'm a very resilient person. I'm able to bounce back from things pretty good, you know, especially with the blind, the broken, and the bankrupt. I think I'm, you know, kind of overcoming that a little bit. Little well. So I said, okay, well, what is the term? What is the term? Well, some people see that as a success, that I'm a successful person because I've been able to overcome, you know, physical disabilities and emotional disabilities and even financial disabilities. So that's a success within itself. Okay, well, success is great, but what is that term? What is that key? What is the thing that makes you different than anybody else overcoming a hurdle? And so I said, well, one thing that I really do well, I ran track when I was in high school. And so if you know anything about track, you know that there's short distance and then there's long distance, right? So I was always the short distance runner. And so when I think of the term instigator, an instigator is short term. I give you that burst that you need, the thing that gets you going. Now, it sounds a little bit like motivation, but it's not. It's not. Instigating means I start you up. I get you going. I'm the person. I'm like your blocks on the track, you know, when the runners get down and they're on their set. I'm the blocks. I'm the one that is that force that pushes you out there. Now, you're going to need the momentum. You'll need to go get another coach to keep you, you know, down the 200 or the 300 or the 400. But I'm the person that gets you going. Whatever tools that you need, whatever advice, whatever that is, I'm the person that gets you started because that's what I'm good at. I'm good at starting things up. I'm not going to see you at the finish line, but I will be there to get you started. So a success instigator does just that. Yes, I'm motivated, but I'm the type of person that is going to draw out of you that thing. What is that thing that you feel like you were created to do or you were created to be? I'll help you find that thing. I'll help you find it. I'll help you start. Now, you'll have to, you know, be in it for the long run, but I'm in it at the beginning, and an instigator does just that. I start things up, especially with success. When it comes to success, I want to see you do well, so I want to make sure that I give you the tools, the advice, and, of course, the motivation to get you started on your success journey. So in a nutshell, that's what Success Instigator is all about.
I love that because I totally just envision you in some sort of Marvel superhero suit just kicking in some doors saying, I am the instigator. And I'm like, yes!
I like that. I like that.
And I'm like that a lot. Yes. The instigator is here. Can I be your sidekick? Yes. I want to be your sidekick.
Batman and Robin, kind of.
Yes. Yes.
All right. All right.
And I don't know. I have to find some sort of, you know, name or something for myself. I'll probably ask my mom. She'll come up with something excellent to call me other than the instigator.
Awesome.
That is wonderful. I do love the vision of you stepping in and instigating people to really become the successes that they were made to be and traveling along that journey with them for a little while, and then just allowing them to go ahead and continue the race on their own until they're ready to pass the baton. That's one of the things that we really like here is talking about legacy. So I love the analogy that you use to get them running, to get them going, and prepare them and teach them how to pass that baton.
Right. That's right.
Let's talk. Okay, so now that we know you as the instigator and what you do, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you started Signature Notaries? Because with everything that you went through, you were clearly the underdog, and I am an underdog leader myself. So you were clearly the underdog, but you turned everything around in your favor and started this business. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because this is self-improvement and self-awareness month. On tribalism. So your story is the ultimate self-improvement. Like you did not allow these things to really kind of hold you back and hold you down. You said, no, we're going to do something. Tell me how you got right into Signature Notaries.
Well, kind of have to back up from that and understand that when I graduated from college, you know, I thought I was going to have the perfect job. I was going to climb the corporate ladder, become CEO of this fabulous company, and, you know, have this wonderful life, live in a high rise. And it didn't actually happen like that. What happened was is that I got my first job out of college, and I was there probably about a year, and I hated it. I hated it. And so I got another job thinking, okay, this is it. This is really it. Great benefit package. I'm getting paid well. And I hated that too. So the cycle kept continuing. Like, why am I getting these great jobs and I'm either getting fired or I'm quitting? What is the deal? And so what I'm figuring out is, you know, either I'm not liking the way they're doing it or I'm trying to change it, and, you know, to do it my way in a system that I think is more efficient and more effective, and it's just not working. This job thing, it wasn't that I was lazy because I'm getting up, I'm going to work, I'm doing my job, but I'm just not meshing with the job. I'm just not meshing. I was never fulfilled. So I said, there has got to be more to it than this. And so I was talking to a friend who became a notary signing agent. She was in a totally different state than me. And she was telling me how she was a notary, and she would go to these different assignments, and she would make, you know, hundreds of dollars, if not a day, but, you know, during the week. And I'm like, what do you mean? All you do is just put your stamp on it? What are you doing? And so she told me about it. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to find out about this. So I figured out what it took to be a notary in the state of North Carolina. You know, you have to take a class, you have to pass the quiz, you have to get signatures, apply to the Secretary of State. I went through the entire process. Bam, I become a notary. Okay, so then I get my first assignment, and I'm loving this thing. I'm like, I can work my own hours. This is great. Mm-hmm. The assignments are coming in. I'm starting to get more work. This is really, really good. So a couple years pass by, and I'm doing this. It was part-time, and then I'm moved to full-time, and the crazy thing that happened, and it was kind of on accident, is one of the clients that I had that would call me on a regular basis, I wasn't available for assignment, and so I actually had to contract the assignment out to another notary friend of mine, or notary buddy of mine, and I actually turned into a statewide notary agency, which basically meant that I was the one contracting the assignments out to notaries within the state of North Carolina. It was just for the state of North Carolina. Well, I did that probably for about a year and a half, and what happened during this process was all the clients that I had started dropping off. They started dropping, and so I'm losing momentum. I'm losing income. I'm losing profit. And so I get down to my last client, and they're still holding on. They love my work. You know, they want to stay with me. Well, by this time, my husband and I have already bought our first home, and we are struggling to make the payment. Now, mind you, I'm an independent contractor. I'm a businesswoman. I've started this statewide agency, and I'm going to see it through to the end, but we are struggling to make our mortgage payment. So we try to modify the loan. And we end up with this modification company that basically just took our money and ran. And so here we are 2 weeks from our house almost being sold on the courthouse steps to foreclosure. And we're like, what are we going to do? So we had, we did not want to lose our house. That, you know, we watched it being built and everything, and so we had really no choice if we wanted to stay in the home but to file bankruptcy. And that was 2 weeks after my 34th birthday is when that happened, and I was devastated. Now, back to signature notaries. It's funny that that happened because not even, I would say maybe not even a month and a half after we filed bankruptcy, my long-standing client came to me and said, listen, you do really good work for us. We like what you do, but can you do nationwide work? And so my jaw drops open. I'm like, what? Where were you like 6 months ago when I needed the income? Where were you 6 months ago? Not thinking that I could have just said, I'll just do nationwide, you know, contracting work. But that's really how it, they asked me to do nationwide work. So here I am, just filed bankruptcy. Now my client says, oh, we don't want you just for North Carolina. We want you for the entire, you know, United States. Wherever we have an assignment, we want you to fill it. And so now I have the task of saying, okay, well, now I can't just be statewide. I'm nationwide now. So there's kind of my journey from, you know, corporate to entrepreneur to business owner and then, you know, nationwide notary network. And so, you know, here I am with this nationwide notary business, and I have no money to build this business. And so one of the things that I do, you know, that I do within Project Push is called Big Business on a Bankrupt Budget. And that's basically my course, my book on how I was able to build signature notaries while I was in bankruptcy. Because, you know, anybody can start a business with no money. You can do it. You can do that. The trick is maintaining and thriving in the, and continuing to thrive in the business. How do you do that? Because that does take money. That does take income. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to wing it, or I'm just going to spend this money that's coming in on something else. I had to build a database. I had these notaries coming in. I had to service these clients. That takes income. That takes money. So what do you do when you don't have any money? You know, and yes, now I'm nationwide, but it takes a minute for those checks to start coming in. And mind you, I have to still pay these notaries so that they'll work for me again. So that was kind of my journey, again, from corporate to entrepreneur to business owner.
I love it. I love it. And it takes that. I know that as an entrepreneur, you do always get that feeling that you want to make your own hours. You know, you don't want to be slave to someone else. You want to be able to not necessarily just call the shots. It's not about calling the shots. It's about being able to do what you are most gifted at in a most efficient way. And
that's right.
Sometimes being in a different environment, especially in a corporate environment, you are unable to do that because there's just constant interruptions. So I definitely can relate to what it is that you're speaking about when you're saying, I'm just not enjoying this. I need to get out of here. I need to be able to do what I know I can do efficiently in order to maintain my reputation as the top excellent worker that I am.
Right. That's right.
Wonderful. Right. Wonderful. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, you know, notary thing. You know, we have to talk because I'm a notary and I'm going to need some advice. So we'll talk about that later. We'll get into it later. Now, two best-selling Amazon Kindle books, what were they about?
So the first one that was my first one, is called I Dare You to Push. And that is, five steps to pursuing your purpose on purpose. And that basically was just kind of my coming out book. This is who I am, and these are the steps that I took to pursue my purpose on purpose. And so when I say I dare you to push, the push is an acronym. And the acronym stems from the story that my dad told me about how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And so, you know, mind you that you have to go back with me. I'm 38, about to be 39, but my dad tells me this story when I'm about 14, 15 years old. And so, you know, he looks at me. I had gotten into trouble about something. Maybe I was talking back. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I was in trouble because I had to go see my dad and sit in the garage and get my punishment. And so I'm sitting in the garage, and I just knew I was going to be grounded forever. But instead of yelling at me or, you know, saying not so nice things to me, my dad sat down and told me the story of how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Butterfly, and he said, Rhonda, when a caterpillar gets tired of ground living, it finds a tree and it hangs itself upside down and it begins to spin a cocoon around itself. And it's within that cocoon that the caterpillar begins to form wings. Now, it doesn't realize that these wings are meant to fly. It doesn't know that. What it does know is that it's growing in an uncomfortable environment. And so the caterpillar, almost butterfly, begins to push up against the cocoon because it's very uncomfortable. It wants more room. Now, anybody from the outside can see that there's a struggle going on within the cocoon because you see a lot of movement going on, a lot of pushing, a lot of struggle, right? But it's so important that no one from the outside try to help the caterpillar slash butterfly that's forming within this cocoon. Because what's happening is with every push up against the cocoon, the caterpillar slash butterfly is strengthening its wings so that it will be able to fly one day, so it will never return to ground living again. And so my dad looks at me and he said, you have to push. And he never said the acronym Pursue Until Success Happens, which is what push means to me. He never said that, but I remembered that back in 2010, when I was sitting at my desk, and here I am, owner of this nationwide notary network, again, unfulfilled, making great money. I'm working from home. I feel like, you know, I'm doing this thing, but I'm working 12 to 14 hours in my own home, and I don't get to see my own family. And so my head is on my desk, and I'm like, I don't get it. And I'm crying out to God, like, I don't get this. I don't get this life that you've given me. I don't get that you allow me to go blind in one eye. I don't get that you allowed me to become a single mother. I don't get that you allowed us to go through bankruptcy. I don't get you. And so my mind flashes back to the story that my dad told me about the butterfly. And so I wrote down the word push. And it was like God just breathed into me what each letter meant. And I wrote down, pursue until success happens. And that was when Project Push was born. And so really Project Push was basically, I told this speech about the butterfly and the caterpillar and how it has to push. My aunt invited me to a Mary Kay conference, and I actually told the speech there. But it was formed out of frustration because I'm mad with God. Like, well, I don't get you. I'm my own business woman. I'm doing my own thing. I still don't get it. And so he basically is telling me, you know, you're all that pain, all those obstacles, it's not for you. You know, I don't do that just to be a mean God. It's so that I can give you a story that you can tell to someone else so that you can instigate success in someone else. I knew that you would overcome that. I knew that, but you didn't know that. So he planted a seed in which, you know, that my dad was the one that planted the seed in me about the push. And so, but I had to ride the whole story out in order to be able to effectively tell other people about the push. Because what I realized, and this is my why, is that there is a girl that somewhere in the world, now, in the future, whenever, that will go through some of the similar things that I went through. And so what does she have to look to? Who does she have to look to? What stories can she read? What movies can she watch? What inspiration can she lean on that's going to help her get to the next level? Because success is really not a destination. It's success is built in chapters. And once you get done with the first part of success, then you go to another one, whether it's weight loss, whether it's a degree, whether it's getting married, whatever that is, it's a continual journey. And it's built in chapters. So once you get done with one success chapter, you go to the next one. And so basically, I've taken you all around the world, but I wanted to make sure that I encompassed exactly how Signature Notaries played a part in Project Push coming to fruition. So I hope that no one is lost in that story.
No.
Wanted to make sure that I gave you the background for it.
No, you really did. I mean, you really kind of summed it up when you said success is a continual journey. You
Absolutely.
Went through these different obstacles until you reached success, and then you realized that that one was done, but there's another to be conquered. So
exactly.
No, you did not. You did go all around the world, but we were able to follow. Don't you worry.
Awesome.
We were able to follow. You know, this is a great segue to talk about organized obstacles, because that's what it seems like you really just kind of described to us, the idea of organized obstacles. Talk to us about that.
Okay, so let's see, 2012, I had a magazine called The Push Report. And The Push Report was written by entrepreneurs, and it was for entrepreneurs. It was a magazine with, you know, several entrepreneur contributors who specialized in their field that would write for the magazine. But then I would always have a feature, and it was called the Underdog Platform. And basically I would highlight someone who went against the odds, who was able to push their way into success despite, you know, their challenges. So I would always feature an underdog on the cover. And so what happened was that the magazine was just getting very tedious. People were not turning in their articles. So I said, this is just not it. This is not working the way I want it to go. But I love the story of the underdog. I love interviewing the underdogs. I love finding the underdogs. And I never wanted that to go away. So I said, okay, well, revamp time. Because, God will give you something and you run with it, and then it's not what you perceive it to be. So the underdogs, you know, that piece of it stayed with me. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, listen, you know, I really want to write another book, but I don't want it to just be about me. I kind of want it to be about me and all these other underdogs that are out there that people don't even know about, how they've overcome. And there's probably underdogs among us that live in your community, that you work with, that have faced incredible odds, whose stories are never highlighted, whose stories are never exposed, and we never hear about it on the news, on a reality program, because maybe it's just boring. But to me, and I know that there are other people like me, underdog stories are fascinating to me. The pursuit of happiness, The Blind Side, movies like that, people love those movies because not everybody is born with a silver spoon. And mm-hmm. then there are the underdogs, the ones that are born without the silver spoon but are able to rise to that level of people who were born with silver spoons. So I wanted to be able to highlight the underdog. So I got together with Angel Barino, who is the co-creator of Organized Obstacles, along with myself, and I said, listen, it's not just the stories about us. I said, there are tons of stories out there, so we've got to find them. So we did a little writing call or casting call for underdogs out there, and we said, listen, if you have a story that, you know, of overcoming, we want to hear about it. So we asked them to write a 100-word synopsis and tell us your story in 100 words. And so we selected, 10 to 11 other contributors. Some of them are millionaires. Some of them are not so millionaires. And we put them in this anthology called Organized Obstacles, an Underdog Anthology. And basically it's a compilation of stories from people who turn their stumbling blocks into stepping stones. And I felt like it was needed because we hear so much about what we're not doing right and everything that's going on wrong in the world. I wanted to be able to showcase what is right in the world, what you can overcome. There are stories of physical impairment, gosh, financial impairment, business, personal, emotional, anything that you can think of as far as an impairment or an obstacle is in this book. Within one of the you will identify with one of the contributors in this book. If not me, it'll be somebody else, trust me. Relationship-wise, physical-wise, finance-wise, business-wise, you will identify with one person. And it's important because this is the legacy that I leave to my daughter, to let her know to pursue until success happens. And so what I say in the book is basically this, and this is how it formed in my mind, Organized Obstacles. God will always, he will always, and I didn't like it, but he will always organize your obstacles for your opportunity. And so I had to take the blindness, the brokenness, and the bankruptcy and use it for my opportunity. Those are organized obstacles. And that's what he places in front of you. You don't just get to run the straight line. You have to jump the hurdles in order to make it. There is no other way. You cannot go around them. You can't kick them down and walk over them. You have to jump the hurdle. But
okay.
They're organized for your opportunity. And
let
so that's
me just
basically
say,
what the – yes.
Sometimes I just want that straight line. I just want to tell you that.
You and me both.
Yes. So I just want to make that clear because people are listening or anybody that may listen to the archive, they understand what you're saying. They're nodding their head in agreement. We are all in agreement that, yes, there's just no straight line, but I'm going to be the first one to say if nobody else is going to say it, sometimes I just want that straight line so bad.
Mm-hmm. We all do. We all do.
Yes. Because it wears me out sometimes. I'm like, really, Lord? Can I just have just yeah. one straight line?
Right. Just one. I mean, you know,
yeah.
and I'll start comparing. Well, you gave them a straight line. You didn't give me a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And God will say back because they couldn't handle that line. They could only handle that straight line. I gave you this line because you were able to handle it. You know, what is the saying that he, you know, he gives the hardest battles to his toughest champions or, you know, something to that effect. So, you know, I know it sucks, but
yes.
I know Paul says count on all joy, and that's hard to do. It's hard.
It really is.
Some days you don't want to get up. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. I just
yes.
don't want to do it anymore. You have to give up sometimes. You have to just say, I throw my hands up. I don't even want to do this anymore. And that's all he's waiting on you to do is just throw your hands up sometimes.
And just give it over to him. I totally understand it. I just, you know, God and I have conversations, and I'm just like, well, did you want to tell me that I was one of your, you know, toughest warriors before you just gave me this assignment? You could have just let me know I was tough, you know.
And see, but what I found out is that he'll never give you, he'll only give you glimpses. He'll only give you a glimpse of what that vision looks like, that promise that he gave you that you're holding on to in your head, that you've written down. He'll only give you a glimpse of it. Because if you see that bad, that ugly, filthy part of it, you won't do it. There's no way that I would have signed up for being blind, broken, and begged. There's no way I would have signed up for it. Heck no. You give me the other life. I want that other one. I'm not signing up for this. No way. No
it's
way.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I would have been the main negotiator up in heaven.
We would be the
ghost.
Now, listen,
right here.
I'll take the brokenness, but I'm not doing that blindness stuff. I'm not going to do that yet. We'd be at the negotiation table for a long time. But there's no negotiation with him. Well, I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
Either you yield or you don't.
Mm. All right. You know, you're going to make me cry because I am a waterhead. So
me
you know,
too.
Don't get
fellow
me
waterhead here.
Yeah, don't start preaching because I'd be like, see, now you done went and called me strong, and then I just started crying, and I'm just going to be mad at you. So go ahead, continue. I like that you said God will always organize your obstacles for opportunity. That's something I'm definitely going to share in the event as well. But go on. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just had to talk about that straight line because you brought it up, therefore.
I know, it's my fault.
It's
my fault. No,
as long as you admit it.
It's hard because sometimes you just want to give up because it really when you look at everything it's not fair, it's not. And God and I have gone to battle. I mean, I talk to him just like I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it is. I don't like it. I don't get you. I just asked for a regular life, a traditional life. I didn't ask for all this. And this is what God said to me. I said, why didn't you just give me a regular, traditional life? He said, I didn't give you a traditional life because I'm not a traditional God. If you go back and look at everything that God did, he never did it by the book,
mm-mm.
ever. Jesus was born in a barn, died on a cross. Come on. He never did anything by the book. Ever. So why would you think that your life is going to be by the book It's not going to be by the book. But the good thing for us is that he always has a ram in the bush for us. And we never see it coming up the other side of the mountain. We're just steady complaining. I don't know why, God. When God went. Why, God, why? And we never see the ram coming up on the other side of the mountain. And I'm, you know, I'll be the first one at the altar call because I'm that one. I'm the one. I don't get you. I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me. You know, but I have to revert back and say, okay, look at every single thing. And that's why it's important to have stories like that so that you can remember. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why God left us his word, so that we can be reminded of those things that are those obstacles that are in our way, that there's always that ram coming up the other side of the mountain that you do not see. This is one of those rams that is coming up the other side of the mountain that people are not going to see. When I'm long gone, you know, hopefully a long time from now, but when I'm long gone, yeah. I want organized obstacles, and I want this to be the first of many different editions because there's so many underdogs out there. I want people to remember that it's okay to be the underdog. It's okay to be picked last for the team. Jesus was an underdog. They never saw him coming. They didn't think that he was worth anything, but in the end, they never, you know, how we say you never see the underdog coming, but you will definitely know when they've left. You will definitely know when they left. And they knew when Jesus left. That's the ultimate underdog. They never saw this guy coming. He was born in the barn. You know, he was turning over tables. You know, I mean, they never saw this guy coming.
Turning water to wine. Let's talk
turning
about
water
it.
Into wine. What is this guy about? You know, but I want people to remember the resiliency of the underdog. This is an underdog guidebook, if nothing else. If you get one story out of here that rocks your world and turns your entire life around, you know, I've done my job. My work is done. Because it did that for me. There are a couple stories in here, and I know each of these contributors personally, and I'm just like, I didn't know this about him. I didn't know this about her. And phenomenal stories. Everyday regular Joes. You may see them on the street. You know, we got divorced fathers in here. We got millionaire entrepreneurs in here. All types of just people that have overcome obstacles that you wouldn't even believe. I'm reading it like, oh, my goodness, my blind, broken and bankrupt. That's nothing compared to what this person has gone through. That's incredible. So well, really excited about it.
Well, is that what the magazine is also about? Is the magazine still being published?
The magazine is not being published. I stopped the magazine so that I could focus on the book. The last issue was December of 2013. And so I stopped that because that's when I started getting in my head, okay, I want to do something more with this underdog thing, but I don't know what. So the future plans for Organized Obstacles, of course, a speaking tour. I definitely want to take Organized Obstacles on the road. And then I want to create a documentary based on that. So not only a book, but a documentary. And I want there to be different, you know, more editions of Organized Obstacles. This is the first of hopefully many. You know, maybe not on an annual basis, but maybe, you know, every other year, Organized Obstacles will come out with new underdog stories that you can read about and get this into schools, middle schools, high schools, where kids can read about, you know, kids that were teased coming up and what they overcame, and that it's okay to be that person that's always picked last, or maybe you're not the popular kid, and that is okay, because what I always say is you know don't always pick on the underdog, because they might just write your paychecks one day.
That's
so
right.
You just be careful who you pick on. But definitely, you know, this is the start of a lasting legacy. Lots of plans for Organized Obstacles, definitely.
Wonderful. And what you're speaking right now is the anthology. You want to create different books for the anthology almost yearly?
Yeah, and maybe not yearly, just because I want to make sure that I get it takes about a year for me to go through and you know, find the people and get them on a deadline and all that good stuff. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, maybe not a 2015 version, but maybe 2016, there'll be a new volume of Organized Obstacles that comes out. You know, and I would definitely, again, like to do, like, some type of documentary. Those are the things that are stirring up in my head that I would love to do with Organized Obstacles. And, of course, you know, you know, speaking off this topic itself, Organized Obstacles, it's already a planned speech, so I do have that as my topic, as one of my speaking points. Organized Obstacles is a topic of mine.
Nice. You know what? Why don't you just go ahead and start telling us where we can find you? I mean, are you on Twitter, Facebook, everything? Can we do a Twitter chat at some point about Organized Obstacles?
Yeah, absolutely. The best place to locate me is to go directly to my website, rondanails.com. Yes, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Pinterest. Not on Instagram yet. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it, I guess. But all the majors, all the other ones, I'm on there. But, again, it's rondanails.com, and you can also get to the Organized Obstacles book via my website as well. You know, all my products, all my books are under my solutions tab. So if anybody's looking for, my first two Kindle books, those are on there as well as Organized Obstacles.
Well, listeners, you heard it here tonight. If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Rhonda Nails, the author, speaker, and success instigator. I keep telling y'all, I can't wait to, you know, we can actually put an SI on her chest, guys. With, you know,
I like that.
and you know, so we can just start kicking down doors and letting people know that we are in the building. I just envision that kind of thing, that we are here to instigate some stuff.
Right.
If you are interested in seeing more about what it is that she talks about, her solutions, visit her on rondanails.com, as she said. Now, you have a free download on your website called How to Lie. I'm not going to, you know I would have something really sarcastic to say, right? But I'm not going to do it. I'm really tempted, but I'm going to behave myself. I'm going to let you go ahead and tell us what that's about.
So one of the things that, you know, in order to stay relevant and stay noticed today, you have to be on some type of social media platform. And if Facebook is your only one, then you need to know how to work Facebook. So one of the things that when I used to do coaching, some of my clients would come to me and say, okay, well, I don't know what to post on my social media. Do I just post my deals, my specials? And I'm like, no, you have to lie. And so they would look at me like, what do you mean lie? And so lie is basically an acronym. And I'll tell you the acronym. The L means to leverage. And you'll have to learn, when I say leverage, the three E's: engage, educate, and entertain. That's the first letter. L, I means to interact with your audience, and so you know make sure that you're talking to them and not just, you know, telling them stuff. And then, of course, the E is enforce your value. And so basically what I do is I take you through these three steps, and I say, okay, you lie. This is how you lie. You leverage, you interact, and you enforce. And you follow that formula in order to have a successful social media platform. And that's basically what it is. If you just, it doesn't matter what business you're in. If you sell cupcakes, you still need to know how to lie. You know, if you're a speaker, if you're an author, you still need to know how to lie. You need to be able to interact with how do you engage your social media audience. So those are just the kind of the little things that I picked up along the way that I put into a free ebook, which is available via my website. It's right on my homepage. You put your email in there, and you'll get the download in your inbox. And that's How to Lie to Your Social Media Audience.
And you heard
really,
it here.
I had to explain myself. It's not lying, like really lying, but it's lie is just an acronym. Lie is just an acronym.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I don't want, you know, I'll just tell my mama, Miranda told me to lie. So, you know, that's what I had to do. And then I'm just going to give her your number, and then you can talk to her.
I'll make sure I explain it well. I'll explain it well, but it you know, it caught your attention, and I do have to explain myself sometimes, but that's okay, because they usually end up liking, you know, the acronym, so it works. It's a win-win.
Yes. Excellent, excellent. If you are just tuning in once again and you have a question or a comment for our guest tonight, just dial on the number 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you're in queue and that you're ready to speak. Otherwise, we're going to just continue the conversation. We have like another 10 minutes left to kind of just chit-chat.
Wow.
About a few. I told you it was going to go quickly. I told you.
It has gone by fast.
I told you how this was going to happen. Did I lie? See? I lied.
You did not lie. You did tell the truth. You did. You absolutely did.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we can find you on all the social medias. We can definitely, or do you have any upcoming events or speaking engagements that we should know about?
Well, I have an ongoing speaking engagement that I'm always doing and I'm always getting booked for, and it's never what people usually think that I'm getting booked for. A lot of people, you know, they do book me for, you know, motivational and business speaking, but the one presentation that I do on a very, very regular basis is called Coupon Secrets Revealed.
Ooh.
And it's a lifestyle, solutions workshop, basically. And what it is, basically, is that I had to learn how to grocery shop really, really well when we went through bankruptcy. And when I mean really good, I needed to be able to walk out with, you know, almost $100 worth of groceries for $20, $25. I mean, that's what I had to work with. So I had to be very, very efficient in the way that I shop. And so I learned some secrets that they don't tell you, you know, when they're handing out coupons or when you get the coupons in your Sunday paper, that now I'm able to walk out of stores. And I still do to this day, not because I have to, but because I absolutely want to, because I like keeping more money in my pocket, you
mm-hmm.
know, for shoes or whatever I want to spend my money on. So,
ooh, that's a magic word. Don't say shoes.
Yeah, shoes is a magic word. So what I do is I go in and have these workshops. People will book me for workshops, whether, you know, corporate or, you know, nonprofits, church groups, women's groups. They want to know these secrets. And so I have this presentation about how to effectively use coupons and how big corporations are using coupons to make millions. How am I able to save all this money? I'm not the person that you see on Extreme, you know, couponing. That's not me. I don't clear shelves. I don't have a whole closet full of mustard. That's not what I do. But I do teach you how to use coupons effectively, so you can walk into the store and get, you know, $50 to $75 with a groceries for maybe $5 or, you know,
nice.
$10 or whatever
nice.
That is. So that is my most booked presentation, and it has nothing to do with business or success. But it is a definite, my most popular presentation.
I love it.
Secrets Revealed. Isn't that wild?
It really is. And actually,
I
totally disagree with you. I think it has everything to do with business and success because, as you said, the more money that I'm able to keep in my pocket
yes.
in order to get my dreams going and fulfilled, the better I feel, the better I like it. So
I have
totally
been
agree.
Corrected. You are right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Because one of the things that I do say in my presentation is, you know, the money that you save here, you can put it back into your business, or you can
yes.
plan for family vacations, or you can, you know, so instead of spending the $250 or $300, whatever it is you're spending, don't spend all that on groceries, because the manufacturers and the grocery stores are going to make their money. You don't really hear about grocery stores going out of business, do you? I mean, you really don't hear about this one is shutting down. No, you hear about them coming up. You know, we have grocery stores popping up all over the place, and one of the things that I reveal in this workshop is why. Why they keep popping up like that. Why are they never really going out of business? And I'll show you exactly why. I'll show you exactly why. So,
coupon
secrets revealed.
All right. Now, it seems that we have a caller in queue waiting to talk to you, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring them in. Caller, last four digits of your social, Lord, I'm thinking about social security numbers. the last four digits of your number is 8349. Please introduce yourself. Welcome to the tribe. You are on the air.
Hi, this is Regina Turner from Brooklyn, New York. Thank you for
having
me.
Hi, Regina from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. Okay, I'm
yes. I am enjoying the call. I mean, I came on a little late, but what I've been hearing thus far, I mean, I would love to know when you're going to give that workshop again, even try to facilitate getting one together. I am a business entrepreneur myself, so, of course, every little savings help, and also for us girls to always network with one another.
That's right.
Empower other women. That's my platform, to empower you, to engage you, to inspire you to be the passionate, powerful individual that you are called to be, which is a leader on this planet. So I am very grateful for this call and being invited to the call. I almost forgot, but I said, nope, I'm going on that call tonight. What happens, I'm going to be there. But I thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina. That's a wonderful. I love that she called in and gave you that compliment. And like I said, I agree with her. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to get you out of NC up to NY.
And well, I do travel. I do travel. So, you know, like I said, that's my most booked presentation. The best thing to do is just go to my website and send me an inquiry. And then I can get back to you as to how I can get up there. It's more easier than you think. And what I always say is I always host two free sessions every month, two free ones. The only stipulation is that I don't care if you're hosting, you know, at the local church or wherever it is, but you have to have at least 10 to 15 people to show up to make it worth my while. So inbox me. And I'll let you know when I have availability coming up. Now, we're getting into the fall, Christmas season, so the sooner you can, you know, provide an inquiry, the sooner I can let you know when I can come up to Brooklyn so we can so we can reveal some secrets up that way, too. So,
I love it.
But thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. It blesses me tremendously when people call in and they actually, you know, are hearing what I'm saying, you know, because most of the time I'm just talking, and you don't know who's listening and who's not. So thank you for blessing me. That's a definite blessing for me tonight.
Yes, we do. We really do appreciate it. We're definitely going to work on getting you up here to hang out. I love what Regina said about getting the girls together to network and really just, you know, you talk about instigating some stuff. You're going to be an instigator. You come up to New York. I'm just trying to tell you right now. There's going to be some serious instigation going on, some success instigation. Not anything
awesome.
Negative. You are going to be the instigator.
No. That's right.
Wonderful, wonderful. I so enjoyed you on the show tonight. I can't wait to listen to the show again in the archives. I'm going to invite all of our listeners to do the same. If you missed anything, you'll be able to go to the website. I'll be posting it into the event as well, and you'll be able to hear everything that Rhonda talked about tonight about becoming a success, becoming a success instigator yourself, really understanding how if you are an underdog, you can turn your obstacles into opportunities. I absolutely really love it. I'm going to definitely invite you back on the show. You know that you're invited back on the show.
Yay!
and then, you know, you and I are going to have to plan like a nice little a Twitter chat. We're going to have a Twitter
yes.
a business chat, and we're going to talk about all the ways to instigate success in one's life. I can't wait to talk to you about that. We will do that. As for our listeners, please tune in next week for our month, for our continued month of self-improvement and self-awareness. We will be talking to Paris Love. She is the owner of the Paris Love Institute, and she is a productivity expert. So Productivity with Paris Love is happening next week. She's author, coach, speaker, intuitive healer, and she helps overextended professional women cut through energetic, emotional, and physical clutter to ease stress, reduce fatigue, promote healing, and increase productivity and quality of life. I am thoroughly excited to be talking with her next week because I know that's something that I need. I wear myself out daily for my business, and I need some decluttering. We all need some decluttering. So join us next week for that show at 9:30 p.m. here on Tribal Wisdom. I look forward to talking to all of you. Once again, just check the event tonight to find out all the ways that you can contact and connect with Rhonda Nails. And we look forward to talking with you again. We love you, and as always, we are devoted to love. Good night.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by BridalTribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.